presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The author's studio is brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On Antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On Antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On Antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Good day, ladies, gentlemen. Welcome indeed to Vanity Fair from its author, William Makepeace Thackeray. Are you confused, my listeners, that Napoleon Bonaparte enters to perform a part in this domestic comedy? Pray, do not blame me. Blame history. It is Napoleon who ruined the Bourbons and ruined Mr. Jonathan Sedley. I spare you, at least for now, more talk of Bonaparte. Let us concern ourselves instead with those we know and care for. Becky Sharp, whilst preparing to depart for Chiswick, is delayed by the arrival of Amelia Sedley. At the sight of the anguish writ large upon that pale countenance, Becky can neither talk of her own dilemma nor take her leave.
Emmy, what is it?
I had to come. You're the onlyest one I can talk to, not even to Mama or Papa, especially Papa. Oh, do you know what has happened to him?
Oh, your question makes me know. But tell me, lest I am wrong. Oh, I pray I am.
He is ruined.
Oh, so it has come, all he feared.
You knew?
We talked of it many times.
You knew, but not Mama, not I.
He wanted to spare you as long as he could hope his ruin would never come to pass.
Poor Papa. So changed, so different. I hardly do know him. Oh, Becky, he said most terrible things to me.
To you?
About George's Papa.
We've just called, Emmy. Mr. Osborne has been cruel and heartless to him.
I know. I brought his letter.
And I fear I know what it contains. An insulting, beastly letter to your father, is it?
To me. The letter is to me. Here, read it if you like.
Oh, I don't like, but I will. Why, it's ever so short.
It is long enough.
Amelia, the conduct of your father has been of such a nature that all engagements between our families are ended. My son cannot marry a bankrupt daughter of a dishonorable, villainous man. All communications between Osborne's and Sedley's is herewith terminated. John Bullock Osborne. Oh, how could he write so brutal, so base a thing to you of all people?
Oh, Becky. Papa has lost his fortune, and I have lost mine.
Pay heed to me, dear Emmy. The letter is not from George. He has not broken off with you. There is good hope he will defy his beastly father.
I did hope a little, and prayed a great deal. And then Papa, when he saw the letter, and when I said George still might marry me. Oh, Beck, Papa won't allow it.
He said that.
And worse.
Emmy, dear, I know your father. If George is strong and brave and defies his own father, Mr. Sed will forget his anger. He loves you more than the world and would give you the world if he could. George is your world. Would your papa take him from you? Oh, no.
I told you he has changed. He's not anymore, my dear, kind, gentle papa.
He will be again.
Oh, do you think so?
It is his nature. I do surely think so.
You didn't hear the terrible things he said. He cursed Mr. Osborne as heartless and wicked and ungrateful.
Can you blame him for saying what is true? You must not be upset by that. It changes nothing between you and Joe.
It does. It does. You've not heard it all. Papa, he has ordered me to. Oh, Becky. I am to break the engagement.
'tis the mournfulest of pities that the escape of Napoleon from Elba has broken the tender heart of a poor little martyr weeping upon the shoulder of Becky Sharp. It distresses me to tell you that when I return, more tears will fall. Listeners, would you hear all Mr. Sedley spoke to his daughter? Can you bear it? Emmy has borne it. Truly then, so can we. Emmy, you understand, has said to her father that her darling George may not obey his father.
In the name of heaven, Emmy, how can you think I would consent to a match between my daughter and the son of a man who has treated me so monstrously?
But, Papa, I love him.
How can you love him? He is his father's son.
He is George.
I will not have that name spoke in this house. When this conversation ends, I curse the day I ever let him into this house.
Papa, 'tis not George's fault that his papa is his papa.
Fault, no power on earth would induce me to marry my daughter to the son of such a villain. You will banish George from your mind.
I know I must obey you in all things, but how am I to keep George from my mind and heart? I have dreamed so long that I would be his wife, and now...
I had rather see you dead at my feet than wife to George Osborne.
I had rather be dead than not his wife.
Rubbish, humbug. You will write him that the engagement is broken off. You will return all letters and presents you ever have had from him.
Oh.
You hear what I order?
Yes, Papa.
You will obey?
Yes, Papa, I will obey. Dear Emmy, have you obeyed your papa?
I have tried. I wrote George and said... May I read it to you? I don't know if it's what I ought to say.
Oh, let me hear.
George. Oh, Beck, not even dear George. Papa would not like it.
Ah, George well knows you mean dear George. Dearest George, beloved George. Read on.
My papa has ordered me to return to you these presents which you made me in happier days. And I am to write to you for the last time. It is I who absolve you from the engagement which is impossible in our present misery. I am sure you have had no share in it, or in the cruel suspicions of your father, which is the hardest of all our griefs to bear.
Oh, no. Would you have me read the rest?
Yes, please, I cannot.
Farewell. Farewell. I pray God to strengthen me to bear this, and to bless you always, Amelia.
Oh, Becky. Will he hate me now?
Oh, my dear, he will love you, perhaps more than ever he has. It is well done, very well done. He can't but know your papa has forced you, as his papa would force him. Have you sent the letter? Is this a copy?
I have not had the strength to send it, not yet. And I don't want it to go by post. I shall send it by Dobbin when he calls by.
Ah, does he come often?
Quite often.
And George's letters and presents, will you return them?
The presents, yes, though it breaks my heart into pieces. But the letters... I took them out and read them over whilst knowing them every word. Oh, Beck, I cannot part with them. I would die or lose my senses if I sent away my last consolation. But that's all that's left me in the whole world. How my heart would beat when each one came. Every letter recalled his looks, what he said, what we did. Oh, must I send them away?
No. No. You keep them, dear Emmy, and now you listen to me. Can you stop crying and listen?
I'll try.
All is not lost. Everything will be put right. I must be away for a day, 2 days at most, on very serious business of my own. But when I return, you have my promise I'll set about to turn things around. I will first speak to Dobbin, for I know he will want to help you. Then to George, if he is cowardly in this, and if Dobbin already has not set him straight. And then I'll talk to Mr. Sed. We're friends, good friends, and I will turn him round. If need be, even, will I face Mr. Osborne. I vow it now. If you want George, and well I know your affections are fixed on him forever, then, Emmy, you shall have him.
Ah, Emmy, brooding over those few worthless letters, living in the past. Becky, too, will invade the past when, on the morrow, she returns to Chiswick. Come, let us go with her. And I am, truly, your devoted servant, William. Make peace, Thackeray.